verse 37. For their heart was not light with them, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquities, and destroyed them not. Yea, many times turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all of his wrath. For he remembered that they were a place, the wind that passes away, cometh not again. How did they provoke him into wilderness and breed him into desert? Yea, they turned back and kicked his God and delivered him from all of his enemies. They remember not his hands nor his name when he delivered them from the enemy. They wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of glory. Turned their rivers into blood and their blood did not drink. And divers thought to fly with them, and was divided and fought with his brother. Give also their increase unto the caterpillar, their labor unto the wicked. He destroyed their lives with meat, and their sickle with bones. Give their cattle also to the native, and their flocks to the uncomfortable. Cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble. And the eagle angel at the moment. And anyway, it was angry. They had not their soul, but they had killed their rival to the person. Then in the 37th verse, it's the reprobate to the 5th verse. This is on 78. Dear Father, we come praying now that your Holy Spirit search out our hearts and see if there's any wicked ways in us and cleanse us and purge us that we might be what you want. And now, Father, we pray for this service that you'll get out of what you want. Pray, O God, that take thy servant loose his tongue, illuminate his mind, give us holy unction for the hour. We pray, God, that you'll bless every soul here. We pray that thy blessing shall be upon those who are coming this way. Give them safe journey. Thank you for the safe journey of those that's already arrived. Yeah. We pray it with Father in Jesus' name. Your Holy Spirit shall have full sway. During these days, may lives be changed, may souls be saved, may blessed lives be healed. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus now, that the Holy Spirit shall have complete control of this service today. Let the devil have any place in. And our Father, we pray throughout the week, our God shall be among us. We pray this morning for those of our number who are sick, his miller, his heart will open up, that you will be with them and strengthen them. Thank you for answering prayer regarding this event. We praise thy name for that. And our Father, we pray now that you just take over. The 44th first verse, verse 41 of 7th, 8th chapter of John. Yea, they turned their back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Yea, they turned their back and limited the Holy One of Israel. I want to talk to you about that this way. That unbelief limits God. Where God is mighty, God is the Almighty, God is the great I Am, God is the God of all creation. By Him and for heart, he was all things created. Without him wasn't anything. And yet we as his creatures can worship God. And on the surface that sounds like a shocking thing. But we are constantly limited with God as his creatures. We're the only of God's creation with those things, though. Nothing else has any limitation. But we limit God a lot of times, and that's what I want to talk to you about. Our unbelief limits God. We've stopped to recognize, turn back and think in God, and limit the Holy One of Israel. You and I, and others, limited in God, the great I am, Lord Jehovah, and look who we are. When we find ourselves limited in God, first of all, we limit God by setting bounds of his operation. We set the bounds as to where God operates. Take in the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us up unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be afraid? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? They said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt. In other words, it's getting so much in the lives of these Israelites that they said, be so much better if we could just turn back to Egypt rather than serve God, rather than go all out for God and live for God. We remember the good old cucumbers, onions, and garlic that we ate over in Egypt briefly. Now our souls dried up on the land. We've got a lot of Christians today that have the turning back attitude. And as a result, they say, well, I didn't have to suffer all of this when I was in sin. I could enjoy all of these things when I was in sin. And I just like to throw it all down. Go back and live like I used to. We must stop to recognize as many Christians today that's got that attitude. Because of the difficulty. Because of the responsibility. They'd like to just go back to Egypt. Live off the cucumbers, onions, and garlic rather than to have the manna from heaven. Cease to satisfy them, in other words. We're living in such a day of seducing spirits and doctrines of devil and the inflaming of the fleshly desires, the appetites of this world, that we'd like to go back. That's what the children of Egypt are saying. Well, just give us a captain to go back over there. Throw it all in so far as God's concerned. Let's go back. We don't want to operate in the bounds of God's operation. God said, come ye out of among them and be separated. We don't want to come out. We don't want to be separated. We want to be around on the edge. And as long as we edge fiddlers and all along as we hang on to the world, we're limited in God. Because we don't want to get out of the bounds of our own little selfish crowd and selfish ways, selfish attitudes, and selfish this, that, and the other. So as a result, God is limited in his operation. Israel didn't want to go where God wanted them to go. What God had for them was much better. But they didn't want it. The land of Canaan was much better. And to go back to Egypt. But they murmured and complained and wanted to go back. Listen, The devils do all of the seducing spirits and doctrines of devil and inflaming of the flesh, and the temptations and the carnality of this world. He's trying to get the Christian element to be dissatisfied with what God's given. Trying to get them to want to go back on top. A lot of people are miserable because they're Christians this day. They feel so sorry for themselves because they got saved, got caught in this sin. All the time. It's so hard. It's so difficult to live a Christian life and have nothing to plant when we could have the good old cucumbers, onions, and barley, and good old leeks and lentils that we need. He just messed up. God can't operate His business for us wanting to go back. That's our problem. We're living in God. We don't want to go into Canaan. We don't want to possess the land God's got for us. We don't want to move forward. We want to back up. It's a little difficult, a little sacrifice, a little suffering. We'll ask for God and the head where God wants us to go. We become such softies and sissies and worldlings. We don't want to suffer anything anymore. Let everybody do his own thing. Don't withhold anything from anybody. Let everybody live like they want to. The television media has so brainwashed America today that nothing's wrong. There are no more restrictions on them. Let us go, guys. Leave us alone. Let us live like we want to. Act like we want to. God is negative with that kind of life. He can't use us. He's trying to get us to go forward. We're trying to get him back in up here. A lot of folks crippled here. Then, my friends, we're limiting the great God of this universe. Not all of us setting bounds that we cannot operate in. God can't operate in certain bounds. If he did, he'd dishonor himself. What I'm saying is, God can't sense himself. God can't approve wildness and unrighteous living. Can't do it. God can't operate in that area of rebellion. That can help us turn out of the wilderness. Then by confining His ability to effect certain purposes of work. We suppose that we've gone so far that God can't help us. The underlying principle of Christians today is we're hopeless and defeated. And because we've got that hopeless defeated, there's no chance for us. There's no hope for us. That's limiting God. That said, we're so guilty. We're so wicked and we're so caught up in this world. It's impossible for God to deliver us and use us. That's not so. But a lot of Christians are taking that attitude. Might as well throw in the towel and quit. We're beyond redemption. We're beyond hope. And that's limited God. We're saying, God, you can't help us out of this mess. We've got such a mess. We've got such a condition. No hope. That's what damns the sinners. They feel like God can't save them. When a sinner doubts God and feels like he can't save him, he won't ever get saved. And when Christians get defeated, we've gone so far and sin's got so deep, there's no hope for America. We are like a sinner. We're saying, God, you are helpless. You came to me. You're too far gone. That's not so. We need to recognize that. So we're saying, we suppose we're so guilty, so great in sin, we can't receive any help beyond. God offered to come to these Israelites that is, didn't he? And God offered that we can raise. Then I'll hear from him.
How?
We'll know that.
Who's talking? God!
Without another saying, God can't.
God says he can't.
So we're living for God. My friends, he said it, my people, which are called for mine, will love themselves and seek my face and pray and cry from the wicked way. Get out of the Egyptian stuff. Give up the cucumbers, onions, and garlic and heat, and get back to the man of God. You can. I'll heal you, man. No time for Christians to get them to be that. That's the purpose of the seducing spirits and doctrine of events. I'll admit readers as quick as you that looks dark, that looks treacherous, that it even humanly speaking looks hopeless. But when you realize who God is and what God promised and what God called her to do and God can't lie, then you and I must throw up our hands and say we're wrong. God can. And he said, who? Must face the reality. And by doubting God's willingness and ability. You think God's willing to forgive us? To heal us? And to use us? That we don't need to be doubting God. We need to believe that God will forgive us. God will heal us. And God will use us. Then we're going to spend our life doubting if God will hear us, if God will forgive us, if God, my friend, won't use us anymore, then we've defeated the purpose of God. What is God's main purpose? Is to seek and to save that which is lost. Is to rescue the perishing and to care for the dying. That's God's interest. That's God's concern. And there's no need of us doubting whether God wants to or not. No need of us doubting whether God will or not. No need of us doubting whether God can or not. Quit limiting God. Quit limiting God. Listen to us. God will offend the blue man. It's not the will of God that any man should perish. So then, my brother, sister, that shows where the willingness is at. It's not on the part of God. It's on our part. May God help us to recognize no need of doubting God's willingness and ability to save. He is willing to do it. He can do it. And if everything is just right, glory to God, he will do it. That's what we must face this morning. That not only that, but limited doctrine certain modes of deliverance. Trying to tell God how to do it. There's a lot of us who want to tell God how to do this thing. Like he's an ignoramus. Like he don't know how it ought to be done. Since when does God become stupid? Since when has God lost his foreknowledge and wisdom and power? I want you to realize, my friends, we don't need to tell God how to do it. We need to yield and help him do it. We want to dictate to God. We want God to do it to us like we want it done. And because he won't do it like we want to do it, then we don't think God knew. And we're limiting God by trying to dictate to God certain ways of deliverance and trying to tell God how to do it. On the illustration. Paul sought God three times to deliver him from the fallen flesh. And God said, Paul, I'm going to deliver you from the He'd have got rid of that thorn in his flesh. But that wasn't God's way. Well, you and I have all the time more to dictate to God and tell God how to do it. And if God don't do it our way, we whimper and whine and murmur and throw up our hands. Instead of saying, okay, God, I'm trying to say, hallelujah, you don't know. You know I don't know how you do it. And I'll work with you.
Amen.
I'll go along with you. We limit God by trying to tell God how to do it. That's my problem. And I have a suspicion some of your problems. Won't tell God how to do it. Won't tell God how to do it. Instead of saying, God, you do it, and use me to help. And because God won't do it our way, we throw up the cushion. We want to go back. We feel so important. We feel so smart. We feel that we know more than God knows. Therefore, God ought to condescend and come down on our level. Not so. We do it God's way, or it's left gone. Limited God. I'm trying to dictate the God. Not only that, by our lack of faith. We limit God by the lack of faith. The promises are God agreed. God's made promises. There's no need to be going into them. Jesus said, I've died, I was dead, and I rose again the third day. Behold, I send the promises of my Father. We've got all sorts of promises of God's hand. But we don't have faith in what God promised. If we have faith in what God promised, we move out and act on it. But we don't believe that God's able to keep his promises. Notice what he said in the book of Matthew. He could do no mighty works among you. Because of the hardness of their hearts and their unbelief. My brother and sister, there is nothing wrong with God, nor the Lord Jesus Christ, nor the Word, nor the Holy Spirit. It hasn't changed a bit. It's our faith that's weakened. It's our wholeheartedness that's promised. That's where it's at. We need to face it this morning. We're limiting the great God of this universe in the performance of his miraculous ministry because we don't have faith enough to believe that God did it. Hey, the devil's got us Christians believing that it's just you or God. It's a hopeless case of you, brother. Now let me do something stand. But analyze women. That's our problem. My problem. And I suspicion some of your problems. We start to realize the promises of God. In other words, if you please, let's turn over and see what Brother James said. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith, nothing waver. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven to the wind and tossed. James said, get a faith that won't waver. Don't be like the waves on the sea and the wind hits you and we love. You and I are paid to sort of wavering. We think we've got faith about that time comes the puff of the devil's wind. And our faith is gone. Drifting. Jesus said, have faith in God.
Be thou removed.
And if you don't doubt in your heart, the mountain will get through.
But when we see the mountain, the wind blows our faith like a wave on the sea.
We're living in God this morning by the lack of faith. He could do no mighty work because of what? Their unbelief. And the hardness of their hearts. God's no less God. God has no less power. God has no less compassion. God
gone wrong, brother, sister, with God, and with the Word, nor with the Holy Spirit, nor with Jesus.
Amen.
Our whole problem is with us. If we can ever get anything done to us, then God can do something with us. That's our problem. May God help us to realize it. Have not because we ask. We have because we, not because we ask for means. First thing we're not getting anything, because we don't ask for means. He that keeps on seeking, he that keeps on knocking, gets it. And he that keep on asking, receives. My friends, we get not because we ask not. We've had it so easy in America.
And Mr. Speckler, thank you for granting me the law, whether I pray or whether I don't.
Whether I have any faith or whether I don't. Whether I ask or what I don't. Good old God is passing out the meeting. He said we receive not because we ask not. That if we're asking for our own selfish lust and selfish and use it on ourselves, not to bring any glory to God, he won't give it to us either. Leave it to God. God would do a lot more for me if I'd ask him. What about you? If you ask him so much, you get a thing that he'd do for you. But I'm frank to confess mine this morning. I get a lot more from God if I ask God. And I get a lot more if I didn't ask it for myself. Or ask it for his good. That's for his good. So therefore, I'm limited to God as to what he does for me. Are you limited to God as to what he does for you? Their unbelief limited God.
The Holy One of Israel.
We stop to realize over the book of Malachi, he tells us something over there if you put in.
Turn read to you so you can pull that back there.
Malachi, the 3rd chapter, and the 11th verse. I'll use the defiler for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your plough, neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. But, through me herewith, see, I don't know a lot of things for you. Destruct! Prove me! Out of the pit, God has never done as much for me as. God has never done as much for you as he wants to. Because you have this. You have a position yourself to this. But I have limited God by not letting him give me all he wants to give me. And so many others are scared he put more in a bucket than you. I've seen people pray for the power of God to come on and have a need of heaven pray. But when the power starts coming, they want to put a lid on their bucket and stop right there to heaven. Pray they'll get more. And they can. Well, God knows how much you can have. No need to strap the lid on. Said to do these things true. Just see if I can open up the windows of heaven and pour you out more blessings in your seat. A lot of folks get afraid when they say they're going to pour you out more than you're cold. Afraid it'll spill over on somebody and they think you're cracked up or wrong holder or you're unbaptistic or emotional or something. So you really don't want God to give you too much so you can be a nice, quiet, gentleman or lady. This goes so far, God. But don't run my bucket over. I'm convinced
stagnated pools. Limit God.
A lot of people are thirsty and dry down the road today, out that life today, because you and I have never really flowed rivers to flow by. Yet God would have us His chance. God would have us His rivers to flow to people. But we just want to help ourselves. It's become stagnated food for most of us, where we don't enjoy it in what we got. Then, so that's in the business, man. All this man, we could just get back and enjoy the cucumber onion and garlic. How juicy and delightful it was. If I could just go back to tickle the sensations of the flesh and satisfy the passions and the desires of the nature. How thrilled I'd be. This thing of being always all in the leadership of the Spirit of God. How miserable I've been. God is limited. Witness. Not only that, but by bringing down the Creator to the standard of the creature, we're trying to pull God down on our level. Our standards. God's limited because we've got so many Christians who want God to come down to their standards of living, their way of thinking. God's thoughts is higher than our thoughts, and God's ways is higher than our ways. But we're trying to pull God down on our thinking and on our ways, and we ain't getting it. Because God ain't going to come. But when you and I make up our mind, we're going up God's thoughts. We're going up on God's way. Then God can use us. You hear this Baptist preacher. If God used the most of us Christians on the level we are on this morning, it would dethrone God. It would lessen the public's appearance of thinking on God. We want people to think on God as we think. We want people to see God's action as we act. We're trying to pull God down to our way of thinking what's right and what's wrong. And trying to pull God down on the level to do as we think we ought to do. And we're limiting God. Because God is not coming down to the standard of the creature. Now don't get shocked at it. But the great percent of you who sit here in this room this morning are more concerned about what the people think of you and the standards of people than you are the standards of God. You say first read or wrong?
No, I'm not.
Some of you never ask God how you want to dress. But you let the standard of dress decide how you dress or don't dress. Some of you never ask God where you ought to go and what you ought to see. But you let your pride you run with decide where you're going and what you're going to see and what you talk about. We're limited to God, saying, God, you let us talk about what we want to talk about, go where we want to go, dress or undress like we want to dress, and run in the crowd we want to run in. God, we can't let you tell us how to do it. God says for women to wear breeches is an abomination in the sight of God. But you don't care how much abomination is in the sight of God. You want to be like the rest.
rest the little sisters are all right. You don't care what God said. You don't want to dress in monster apparel, and be so godly that folks will find out you're godly. You want to find out you're one of them. You're one of them. Face reality. You're limited in God. By trying to get God to lower his standards and be a company of people. You're not. Same thing. We want to go back to the flesh way, the world way, rather than separate and be identified only with Christians. Trying to bring God down on our level. We're limiting him than by disbelieving his word. He is declaring he can do everything. Does the word say there's nothing impossible with him? Really, we don't think God can do anything he wants to do and would do if we submit and let him do. Really, we don't believe God can do anything. We, the devil's brainwashed us and browbeat us, and a lot of other things around us have so caught us up in it that my brother, sister, we don't even believe God could shake America anymore. I hear a lot of preachers and a lot of leaders say, we can't have a revival in America anymore. But if God wanted to, had anybody to have it with. A lot of preachers don't want God to have a revival, and a lot of church people don't want to have God to have a revival and have to clean out and admit that all alive, and they don't want to be made alive. So if it took that attitude, God came, God won't. We're sort of glad that because the revival comes, it'll save a lot of their church members. Save a bunch of the preachers. And they don't want to get you up. So we're limiting God, my friends, by disbelieving the word of God. All things are possible. If my people would to call my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and pray. And
turn away from their wicked ways. That's what gets us. And turn away from the wicked ways. We want to turn toward them instead of away from them.
Then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and leave their land unhealed. No, sir. I'll heal their land. Who said? God. But we don't believe it. He's gone, the preacher. I believe it. We look like we'll do something about it. No. Same way. We're living in God with our unbelief. We don't believe God will do what he said he'd do. Oh, yes, I think the word of God's true. But we don't believe it. Hear a lot of people say the word of God said it and I believe it. No, it's settled whether you believe it or not. Because I'm going to be honest to confess to you this morning, my friend, if folks had to believe it, to make it so, it'd be awfully untrue because there's thousands of Christians that don't even believe what God says. They don't believe God means it. They think of it as something. Oh, Sam, they don't think God means it. We limit in God. But disbelief of his word, declaring that he can do everything. All things are possible with Christ. Only believe, all things are possible with Christ. That's what the word said. We can do all things. Just a few things. No, all things through Christ.
committed his past verses in heaven. We lament God because we forgot.
You remember that Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes,
he'll call to your remembrance things of the past.
I want you to know practically every Christian sitting here this morning,
God has brought you out of some awful experiences. And in perils of different kinds, he's delivered us from death. There are various things in peril. And we saw him and experienced it too. Now back in those early, disbelieve God.
What?
But so many of us again, God can't bring the soul.
You're up. And let you shoot to death and let you believe that God took some of your sin and some of your friends are taking sin that's trying to drag you down. You got a new situation. Hey! He got you out of the jaws of death. What?
Your fair life is in his hands. He took care of it.
He's dead and afraid he can't bring you through some other. We are limiting God because we forget him.
I look back. The right thing. He brought me through. I get to think of the truth. And he's the same man I was then. God help us, Jesus. Have they got you through it?
Yeah.
You know, almost makes chill up his spine when you think about how close you come at him with God. Here they are. But he has to change. Why get shook up and try to say the world's got us in the downhill pool and nothing we can do about it? And so, God got us out of one and get us out of another! Space it this way. You need a limit to God.
You trying to break him down on our limit? By unbelief. Unbelief. Turns God's face away from us. Closes his hand. God wants to help. But if we don't believe he can, his hand is just closed and we can't help. If we don't believe he will, then we turn it up.
Listen. God's hand's not been shortened that he can't reach in and save. God's ear's not turned deaf that he can't hear. But our sins have separated between us and God. And he does it where stays. So we're limiting God with worldly living and sinful living.
God could save a lot of us
if we could get our sins out of us.
God could hear a lot of our prayers if we get a lot of worldliness and sin out of our lives. God's more deaf than he's ever been. God's hand
and trumpet lifted up the king
reach
down there.
What's wrong?
I say to Joe, we dropped the label of wings.
God's still there. God's ear is still there. God's hand's still there. But we've got a veil of sin from us. And he can't reach down through the heavens.
Limited
God. Not only that,
my friends, either you according to your faith, we stop to remember if you please.
More of a brethren, I would not that ye should be, but how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat of the same spiritual meat. They'd all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drink of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as with some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed and saved. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed and destroyed. All of these things happened unto them for an example. They are written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Stand! Stand!
Don't lay down. You give up.
Stand up! Stand up! A lot of folks get out in the boxing arena and knock their ass. He flattens out and lays in the floor. But Paul has said, you're in the arena, don't lay there. Get up, stand up, speak up for God. Two men have gotten on the town. We've laid ourselves out. Get up. Stand up, speak